strengths and weaknesses as it relates to life's experiences. Maybe we could say positive and negatives. But I just made a list here in some of my notes about that, the strength versus the weakness, and I'm just going to read them. And then I have some other quotes and notes from other writers. I don't very much or don't always like to do this, but I'm going to do quite a bit of reading. And bear with me as I do that. I hope it doesn't take away from our learning together. Do I have a victor mentality or a victim mentality in regards to my journey in life? Hope or despair? Forgiveness versus bitterness? And may I digress just a little bit? Came across a quote or a thought on forgiveness recently that suggests it's the radical act of releasing someone else from the punishment we think they deserve. And in the process of doing that, it sets a prisoner free, and you discover that prisoner was you. Okay? It doesn't mean you're agreeing with what the other person did, or that it was all right what they did, but you're not letting that define you. Love versus hatred. Vitality versus stagnation. Honesty versus lies. And Jeremy touched on that. Satan is a master liar. I mean master. Even as God is the essence of love, Satan is the master, the father of lies. And staying connected versus isolation. We've probably all been tempted. I know I have. When we face a difficult, when we face a valley, or maybe even a mountain, but probably more significantly a valley, to withdraw, to isolate, and we're made for community. We're made to be just opposite from that. Wherever there's loss, and bear with me, again, this is not a coping with death seminar. Your journey right now may not be loss of a loved one. It may be many other things, but I think it still fits. You could put whatever your journey is, but I'm going to say wherever there's loss, there's grieving. And wherever there's grieving, there are choices. Some choices lead to hope and healing, and some choices lead to more hurt and more grief. In his book, Hope When Your Heart is Breaking, Ron Hutchcraft writes, and I quote, and I'm going to read this slow, it's pretty heavy, at least it was for me, hope needs to be as real as the hurt, as strong as the grief, as powerful as the pull to give up. Hope that finds the healing presence of God himself in the midst of the rubble. A hope that shakes its fist at despair and fear and shouts, "No, you can't have me." It's the kind of hope you have when you're waiting 8 years for your prayers to be answered. And even if they're not answered the way I would like to see them answered, doesn't change that God is a perfect God. He's not a reflection, he's a perfection. This kind of hope doesn't come from your circumstances. It comes from your choices. No, it's not wishful thinking. It's not inspirational slogans. And I would encourage us to be careful with those. If someone is really in a dark valley, to try to hammer some spiritual truth into them, correct as it may be, is probably not what they need to hear right at the time. And no, it's not escapist denial, but it is a confidence that squarely focuses the loss and the unanswered questions, yet chooses to not be defined by them. I wish I could tell you I've mastered that, but I believe it. Whether your storm is from grief or failure, abuse or abandonment, disease or whatever, you may very well go under when it first hits. And by the way, that's all right. And hear me out when I say that. God's shoulders are big enough to carry that. But it's what you do when you are under. The question is whether you stay down. You didn't have a choice about the hit or the hurt. And I will give an example of that just shortly. But you do have a choice about the hope. Notice all three of those words start with H. Our daughter and son-in-law didn't have a choice about their little Sierra. Neither did Jalen and Paige have a choice about their 12-week. But they did have a choice about the hope. Am I a victor, victim or a victor? Guard against self-pity and isolation. And here's my story to illustrate. And this is a true-to-life story. It's not my story. I mean, I didn't experience this personally. And I'm not using names. If you identify the story, that's fine, but I'm not using names. A grandfather was to speak at his young grandson's funeral. And this is a quote from him. How am I supposed to respond to an unwanted, unsolicited Saturday morning phone call with a crushing message about the unexpected passing of my young grandson? End of quote. This father had no choice, or this grandfather had no choice about the hit or the hurt, but he did have a choice about the hope. You and I also have a choice about the hope. Someone that's here today shared with me a loss that he's experienced within the last year and a month or whatever. And a part of that journey, that was also not his choice. The hit and the hurt. In his book, A Grace Disguised, Jerry Sitzer writes, and I quote, "The difference between despair and hope, bitterness and forgiveness, hatred and love, and stagnation and vitality lies in the decisions we make about what to do in the face of regrets over an unchangeable and painful past." Now that covers a big area. I personally, and I've told my children that, and I had the privilege, as I told you, I had the privilege to tell my son Matthew that before he left us, that I have some serious regrets about the way I was a father. And I ask each one for their forgiveness. And I've gone back and have done it again. And one of the children reminded me and said, "Well, Dad, we have released you of that. We're not holding it against you. I think you should forgive yourself as well." Sometimes it's hardest to forgive ourselves, isn't it? We cannot change the situation, but we can allow the situation to change us. Emotions like anger or self-pity, however natural and legitimate, do not define reality. I think I heard Jeremy say that he was dealing with anger. And by the way, I had many things and still have many things to learn. But in my journey, in our journey, I just want to say mine. I'm not going to include my wife on this one. With our son, I was angry at God for a short time. And I raised the question in our home congregation, is it okay to be angry with God? And I got mixed responses. What do you think? It's not a trick question, but it's also a question that's hard to define just by those words. You have to understand the context. But I was working through and dealing with that and processing it. There's one part of it that says, God's shoulders, someone told me God's shoulders are more than big enough to carry your anger. He's not fazed by that. He still loves you. I know of someone who went through a tremendous loss, and I'm not here to judge that person, but there was no outward indication of any grieving, of any sorrow. I know different people are different. Our emotions are different. But I think it's okay to be angry with God and ask God the hard questions. But I would beg you, if you do that, don't stay parked there. God is a good God. He can handle your anger. He can handle your tough questions. And it's a way to process. It's a way to release. So they don't define reality. Our feelings do not determine what is real, though the feelings themselves are real. We cannot ignore these feelings, but neither should we indulge them. Instead, we should acknowledge them without treating them as if they were the ultimate truth. The feeling self is not the center of reality. God is the center of reality. To surrender to God, however contrary to our emotions, will lead to liberation from self and will open to us a world that is much bigger and grander than we are. God's forgiveness will show us that He wants to take our losses and somehow bring them back on us in the form of a blessing. Now that's a big one. That is a lot to process, especially if you're right in the middle of a very dark experience. How can anything good ever come out of that? Well, I'll tell you one thing good that came out of our experience. To this day, we don't know who this person is, and we don't need to. But one of our sons posted on his Instagram or TikTok, something social media, the tribute that he shared at the funeral of his brother. That wasn't posted very long, and he got a response from somebody from another state. No idea who the person is. That person thanked him over and over for posting that and said, I was minutes away from taking my own life, and I saw your post, and I'm reconsidering. It's like the white rose. It wasn't a sermon preached. It wasn't a judgmental statement. It was an invitation. If you're going through a journey that's very difficult and you're trying to understand of how to relate and what to say and not to say and when to say and when not to talk, when to speak and not to speak, take heart. Sometimes it's the things that we think are the least important that connect most to a hurting heart. This work of grace, God's work of grace, and get this, will not erase the loss or alter its consequences. Grace cannot change moral order. Bad will always be bad, but grace will bring good out of a bad situation. It will take an evil and somehow turn it into something that results in good. So here's the dilemma. And this one's also pretty heavy, and it's not my words. I think I agree with most of it, the way I understand it. And I don't understand it 100%. I'm going to read it for what it's worth. And for a backdrop, It may help. Have you ever wondered about Jesus' words when he said, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it? But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you're going to find it? You understand that? If you were to get a topic on that right now, what would you say? You don't have to answer, but think about that. It's such a paradox. It's so opposite from what we normally think. And here's the wording. If loss, and you fill in that blank, whatever that is for you, increases our capacity to love, then an increased capacity for love will only make us feel greater sorrow when suffering strikes again. There is no simple solution to this dilemma. Choosing to withdraw from people and to protect ourself diminishes the soul. Choosing to love even more deeply than before ensures that we will suffer again. For the choice to love requires the courage to grieve. Someone has said grief is only love with no place to go. We know that loss is not a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so we naturally dread the losses that loom ahead. But the greater loss is not suffering from another loss itself, but refusing to love again, for that may lead to the death of the soul. A little side note here. Something I was really challenged and impressed with. Doesn't fit directly with this topic. Maybe indirectly, but I guess we believe that Jesus was with the Father, with God, before creation. Okay? I don't know what kind of conversations they had. But at some point in time, there came a time when God asked his son to take on an earthly body and come to a sin-cursed earth, leaving heaven. And the Father, as we heard, full well knew that his son would be misunderstood, misrepresented, mistreated, crucified, and he knew that he would have to turn his own eyes away from his son so he could go through with the mission he was sent to earth for. He was given an earthly body so he could live among us. Okay, you're a father here today, or you have a close friend, and he's always been in a beautiful place, and you're asking him to go to a very dark place where there's all kinds of wickedness and evil going on, and you know he's going to get killed. Anything I've experienced doesn't even come close to what that must have felt like. That's kind of what hit me. It takes tremendous courage to love when we are broken. Yet I wonder if love becomes more authentic when it grows out of brokenness. Brokenness forces us to find a source of love outside ourselves. That source is God, whose essential nature is love. It seems paradoxical to put brokenness and love together, but I believe they belong together. And one more quote, that's also not original with me. It came from a local organization that reached out to us. And this is really powerful. Let your pain become your purpose, and let your wounds become your work. Let your pain become your purpose, and let your wounds become your word. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. He is the master of turning losses into learning, failures into faith, disappointments into determination, and crashes into character. Jesus forgives, he restores, he rekindles, he rebuilds, he recycles hurt into hope. Amen? I want to end this on a very positive note. I hope this wasn't too doom and gloom, as Jerem said. But if we don't face the reality in our journeys that loss is real, Trials are real, valleys are real, but Jesus has overcome, so we can overcome. He forgives, he restores, he rekindles, he rebuilds, and he recycles hurt into hope. I want to share this story. It happened in a little seaside cafe in Scotland. Two fishermen were having one of those, can you top this? Conversations about who had brought in the largest catch. One of them tried to describe his big one with a swooping gesture of his hand, which unfortunately sent a full teapot crashing against the wall, leaving an ugly brown stain. The disgusted owner said he would now have to repair the whole wall to get rid of that stain. A lone man at another table asked if he could have a few minutes to work on that stain. The other lone man says, you may not need to repair it, he said. With nothing to lose, the owner let him proceed. The man pulled out some paints and brushes and began to use the wall as his canvas. He began to sketch around the stain, coloring, shaping, shading. Soon an image appeared, a deer with an impressive rack of antlers. It was a masterpiece. Little did folks know that the man with the brushes just happened to be the famous wildlife painter E.H. Landseer, who, with his great skill, demonstrated that you don't have to settle for an ugly stain simply being erased or covered. It can be transformed into a thing of beauty. That's the miracle Jesus has been doing with pain-stained, sin-stained lives for 2,000 years. Transforming what once was ugly and depressing into a thing of beauty. A broken past can, in the hands of Jesus, become hope for a hurting world. Now, if that's not positive, I don't know what is. When I see someone who I know, and there are those examples in Scripture, many in fact, but in my day and time, if I see someone who I know has had all the cards stacked against him, if we may say it that way, and yet he is loving the Lord, he is touching people's lives, he is not stagnant, he is not isolating himself, that's powerful. I come back to our verse in John 16. Jesus' words, in this world you will have many trials and sorrows, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. One thing I might ask you to consider taking home with you to think about, and depending where you're at on your journey, if the grief is really raw or the loss is really difficult, it may be hard to do this. But at some point in time in your journey, consider this. Look for opportunities. No, let me back up. Look for natural opportunities to share what God is doing in you with someone else. What does that mean? What does that look like? I don't know what it looks like for you. I work by myself most all of the time, do small repair jobs, construction type work, remodel work. I don't know what it is or why it is, but I've had numerous clients that have started the conversation about something that they're dealing with that is very difficult. And right now I'm working with a customer that has a son that has twice tried to end his life and was not successful with overdose. He's doing better. Look for natural opportunities to share what God is doing in you with someone else. Maybe that fits what that means, partially. I don't think it means that I go out every day and make sure the sun doesn't set before I've talked to somebody about my grief journey. But there's something about, and I've sensed it here, there's something about when you have something in common with someone, even if you don't really know it, you feel it in your spirit. It takes honesty and vulnerability to talk about it, but it can also be healing.